I would like to start at a different place than where James left off.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We'll go back and do the rest when he gets back in town.
Okay, so we have to explain.
This is one of my favorite parts of Isaiah. Can we turn to chapter 61?
61?
Yes. Chapter 61.
Good news for the oppressed.
Yes.
Like that.
At least that's what it says in my translation.
That's right. It's wrapping up Isaiah, but it's one of my favorite passages displaying who God is and all. So, can we go ahead and let's start by reading verse 61:1.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound.
By the way, who declared that? Who declared that? Who was it that came to that was anointed to preach the good tidings to the meek and bind up the broken and proclaim liberty to
the
captives?
That would be our buddy Jesus, right?
I would declare that as Jesus. Mm-hmm. Okay? And it's talking about Jesus, and he says, hey, this is what I came to earth to do. And as we look at it, I think it's really important we take a look at what God is offering us through a relationship with Jesus. He is offering to bind up our broken hearts, proclaim liberty to those who are bound, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
Doesn't Jesus quote that in the New Testament?
He quotes that. Yeah. You're right. He quotes it. And so you realize one of the things I have spent a lot of time from time to time ministering to people and seeing them set free. But one of the things that God was showed me one time, I was ministering to somebody and I didn't know where to go from where we were. And I said, well, God, where would you like us to go? And he simply said, ask me to heal your broken heart, to the person I was ministering to. And then I began to realize that's what Jesus said he came to do. And the cool thing was, we prayed and God really touched them and it really helped them to walk victoriously. So Jesus offers to heal our broken hearts. One of the things is, for me, the one reason I'm not afraid to have relationships is because I know in all relationships, at some juncture, you're going to have a misunderstanding or you're going to have differences or whatever, whether it be in a marriage or whether it be a family or whether it be a church or whatever, you're going to run into times when your heart might be wounded. But the good news is, Jesus says, if you will ask me, I will come and heal your broken heart. And I know there's some people that, you know, have been brokenhearted over loss of marriage or those kind of things, or even, you know, the enemy trying to create havoc here in our church. But here's what I know, is all we got to do is go to him and say, God, my heart is aching, and you said that you would heal my heart. Come and heal my heart. And so that's part of the good news. Because once you get a person freed up, if they're still hurting inside, okay, it's still hard to rejoice. Yes. But Jesus offers us, ask me, and I will heal your broken heart. And I thank God. Because now I know if I do get wounded, in a relationship, I know that God will heal my broken heart and I can still go on and have relationships. And so it's part of the good news that Jesus came to preach. But it's often, I don't think we ever ask him to heal our broken heart. It's part of the good news. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go on.
I'm still a little confused there.
What's that?
You asked the question on who this was talking about that come to
heal the broken heart?
Right.
There's a prophecy there.
Now, I know that usually in the Bible and stuff, when Jesus is talking or whatever, it's basically in red print.
In the New Testament.
Only in the New Testament?
Yeah.
Okay, so because we're in the Old Testament.
Yeah, it's not red.
Okay.
There's no red in the Old Testament.
Okay.
And there's only some Bibles, not all Bibles use red print.
By the way, that's a great observation. Mm-hmm. I had never thought about that, but I do realize.
The reason why I was asking, because I'm thinking that Isaiah, okay, is the one that's writing
but he's
this book, right?
He's the one that God used to write this book. However, he is declaring what Jesus declared, because in Luke chapter 4, verse 20 through 21, or 20, 17 through 20, is where Jesus comes and says, I came to heal the brokenhearted.
Right.
So he's quoting, talking about Jesus when he comes. That's what he's going to do. So he's prophesying. What he's actually doing is prophesying beyond where they were today to Jesus' day.
Okay.
They're prophesying about Jesus.
Right, okay.
Coming, yes. That, good question, by the way.
That makes it better sense to me.
I'm impressed.
Oh.
I'm trying to learn here. I've never given it much thought that I knew that there's no red in the Old Testament, but it makes sense. I'm glad you could pick it up.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. All right, let's go on.
To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified.
Okay, wow. Do you see the promises God gives us here? He says, I have come to comfort all who mourn. One of the things we need to realize, though, God is offering us an exchange. If you'll give your grief to him, he says, he will come and comfort you. And once again, it's one of those things of the healing of the heart, and a completion of that, but he says, I will comfort those who mourn. And then he says, I will give you beauty for ashes. Once again, he's offering you the exchange. If you will give God your brokenness, what does he say he'll do? He'll give us his beauty. Okay? You can't hold on your brokenness and take on his beauty. Okay? And so he's offering us an exchange, saying, if you'll give me your brokenness, I will come and heal you and restore you. So he says, and I'll give you joy for mourning and praise for the spirit of heaviness. By the way, how do we overcome heaviness?
Praising.
Begin to praise. And what happens is God inhabits our praise. And that means he comes to where we're at as we praise him, and he begins to minister to us. And that's one of the reasons praise and worship is so important, is because we make a place where he can come and minister to each of us where we're at. And the Holy Spirit can do it to everybody in the whole building at one time, because he can be in all places doing all things at all times. Mm. So he's once again saying, and we will be called what?
Trees of righteousness.
Trees of what is that talking about?
Oaks. Mine says oaks, which is a hardwood.
Uh-huh. Well, he wants us to become trees of righteousness. In other words, we're going to take on righteousness. Okay? And that what? That we will glorify him.
He may be glorified.
Yes. So if we will make that exchange, you know, if you're heavy-hearted, exchange your heavy heart for his joy. And I call it the great exchange, because God offers us and he says, hey, if you'll give me your mourning, I will comfort, give you comfort. Okay?
Just let go, let God.
That's it. That's it. But
I had gotten a plaque from one of my secret sisters one year. I had it hanging above my bed. And a girl from work was having a lot of issues at work. And she didn't know what
right.
she should do. And she was so confused and everything. And I gave the plaque to her.
Uh-huh.
And now she is working at the new tractor supply place in charge of the garden center out there.
Oh my goodness.
And our place is looking bad.
Yes.
We had 6 or 8 people taking care of the plants out
right.
in our garden area. It's one guy now.
Wow. Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
That's so.
Yes. Well, maybe you'll reap what you've sown, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, maybe God will cause you, because he says we will reap what we've sown, and you loving her and encouraging her,
yeah.
it'll be neat to see God reverse that
oh,
whole
yeah,
thing
yeah.
for you. And he can. All right, let's go on.
And they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations.
Okay. Once again, God is simply saying, all of this mess that sin has created, I can reverse all the ramifications of it. Okay? And he's saying, we'll raise up cities and make places for many generations. And the reason I like this 61, because we've been reading a lot of negative stuff in Isaiah's writings. Okay? And when you get to this one, you begin to say, wow, look at God's coming on the scene. He's changing their hearts. He's changing their sorrow. He's giving them joy. He's giving them happiness. And now they're rebuilding the cities so that they once again are occupying the land that God gave them. So it's a whole thing of saying, God saying, I can take your mess and reverse it. Any of you have any messes? He's saying, I can take your mess and reverse it. And what a promise. And I believe that when we receive the promises of God, when we make the promises like that, if we will in faith say, God, I'm willing to make that exchange. Here's my sorrow, or here's my broken heart, or whatever. And say, and begin to believe him to do what he says he will do, he will do it. Because he wants us to believe. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go on.
Stranger shall stand and feed your flocks.
By the way, how do you like that idea? They'll do your job for you.
We all don't mind that. Feed my chickens.
Yeah, feed my chickens, yeah. All right, go ahead.
And the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers.
So what is he saying? He's saying, I'm going to have people that come and do your work for you, to serve you. All right, go ahead.
But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs.
Okay. He's saying what Joyce Myers, and she's famous for. She said, God will give you double for your trouble. Okay? And God promises us that. He says, listen, once again, if you'll let me, and if you'll believe me, and if you'll give, I will give you double for your trouble. And with Joyce, that's why she says, that's what God did for me. My dad sexually abused me, but God has turned that whole thing around. where I've been able to help millions of people, and my life has been glorious. He gave me a good husband, and my life has been glorious. He gave me double for my trouble. And so it's important when Satan comes and tries to drag you through the mud and say, nothing's ever going to change, this is hopeless, it's important that we say, no, that is not what God says about it. God says he's going to give me double back what Satan stole, because Satan comes to rob, kill, and destroy. And so he says here, I will give you back double what the enemy has taken from you. Shall we go on? And by the way, I believe it's really important that we literally take and say, God, I give you, you know, my broken heart. And sometimes I think to hold our hands out and say, God, I give it to you, in faith, and saying, God, I'm believing you to heal my broken heart, or, you know, to comfort me or give me joy or whatever the case may be. Let's go on.
For I, the Lord, love justice.
Woo!
I hate.
What is justice? That which is right.
Yeah.
Okay? And God is simply saying, another thing I will give you is I will give you what is right. Mankind may cheat you, mankind may rob from you, but I am mighty enough that I can give you what is right. That's good.
I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth and will make them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the prosperity whom the Lord has blessed.
Woo-hoo! Wouldn't that be amazing to know, when people see you, you see how blessed that guy is? You know why he's so blessed?
The Lord has blessed him.
Because the Lord has blessed him, because he's his. I believe God wants, okay, I believe that God wants to bless us.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Hello, Robbie.
Well, more than that, here's what he said. He says, when we tithe, he said, try me and see if I won't give you more than you can even handle. I believe God wants to bless us as we honor him and serve him. That God wants to bless us and make us so we can be a blessing. So he says, I will bless you. Where are we at?
10.
All right.
I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation.
Yes.
He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, for as the earth brings forth its bud, the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth. So the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth because of all nations.
Well, once again, look at the promises he gives us. He said, I will give you the garment of salvation. That means forgiveness of our sin. And then we will wear the robe of rightness. Basically, it's our behavior lining up with who we are. Even, and it will become your glory. In other words, when people see you, they will see the glory of God upon you. And God wants us to demonstrate his glory by how we live our lives. And so he promises us that he will give us salvation and righteousness.
That's one of my prayers, that somehow people will see God in me.
That's it. And that's what he wants to do, by the way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, I think it's important that when we read some of this stuff, that we say, God, you promised me that. I exchange whatever it is that I might have what you say I will have. And I believe in you to do what you said you'll do. And like with Joyce, Joyce had to go through a whole lot to get where she is today. But she'll tell you right now, she'll say, God has indeed given me double for my trouble. Go ahead.
I kind of did that today at lunchtime. my two coworkers, I think one of them says she's a Christian, but somewhat with her language, it doesn't sound like it. And so when the server brought our meals, they picked up their forks and I put my head down and I started saying grace.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, you know, she laid her fork down and and allowed me to finish. But it just, and I hadn't really planned on it, it just
happened. But once again, what did they see? They saw your grateful heart. And what does David say? There's a child of God. And that's what God wants us to be, is that shining light. Where we are great. Well, I mean, being grateful should be a trait of us as believers. We should be grateful.
Two, from where my doorway is, about from here to Will is the end of the room. And he had mailed us a painting that an inmate had made for him. And it's on cloth and colored with M&Ms and different stuff and just to get colored. But anyway, it's the Lord praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it's probably this big. And he had folded it with tissue paper in between and mailed it to me, and I took it and had it framed.
Oh yeah? You have it at work now?
And I took it and hung it in the doorway. If anybody's going down that hall and they're looking into my room, they can see it.
Wow, cool. That's quite a thing. I've seen some of the stuff those guys have used their creativity for. It's so amazing.
You know, there's some talent inside those
walls. Sure is, man.
I gotta take a time out here a minute. I'm gonna have to get up and leave and stuff here. I gotta take care of this emergency at home here real quick.
What? Can we pray for you before you go?
Sure. I've got a praise report that I wanted to bring to you. I talked to Miss Annie today. She was sick yesterday, but she's feeling a lot better.
Praise
today.
God. Praise God.
It's good to talk to her. I must have talked to her my whole break, about 9 o'clock break, which is only 15 minutes, but still, it was good to hear from her.
Let's ask God to guide you. God, as Will leaves this place, I pray that your protection hand will be with him. God, once again, might your light shine through him. Even in the time of difficulty and challenge, that people will see you in him. And even tonight, God, I just stand at all about who you are. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes.
You guys have a great evening.
Right. Thank you.
Safe.
Okay.
God bless.
Let's jump to Joel chapter 2.
Jump.
Yes. Jump. My Bible, 13, page 1340.
Chapter 2, you said?
That doesn't help.
Chapter 2.
Joel, what chapter?
Joel sounds private, by the way. Right?
What chapter?
Chapter 2. It's right after Daniel.
Okay. Number one.
Two.
2-1.
Oh, okay.
Is that where you want it?
Yeah. We're going to be on chapter 2. I'm just trying to decide which place I want to.
Okay.
Let's do start at page 20. verse
23.
Hold on
a second. Page 22.
No.
So Joel
chapter
23.
23. Page. Here we go. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully.
Motherly is what mine says.
Yeah, I'm waiting for them to catch up there.
Yes.
All right.
Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he's given you the former rain faithfully. He will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil.
Okay, let's stop right there. Basically, you realize that the rain, the former rain, was to get the crops going. The latter rain was to bring them to harvest, to ready for harvest. And he's saying to them, I will give you the former and the latter rain together, which means it will be very prosperous. You find it, Miss B?
I thought you said Joel.
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 It's near Daniel. It's a book after Daniel. A couple books. But.
I told
us
on page
1419. There you go.
That's what you need on that.
Yeah, well, if you have the right Bible, you can read it.
Yeah. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with new.
So what does that mean? There's going to be an abundant harvest. Right. That's good.
We like those kind.
Yes, indeed.
So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God.
Go
ahead.
What does he say? Locusts, generally, if you have a massive swarm of locusts, they will simply come through your fields and strip them of everything that's there. Everything that's green and edible, they will do that. And he says, hey, I'm going to give you, I'm going to restore to you that which the locusts, all the different kinds of locusts and stuff, have eaten. I like the fact, the reason I like these verses, they're simply saying, I am a God of restoration. And it doesn't matter if, you know, that you've lost something, because I can restore what has been stolen, simply, I believe, by Satan and the devil. I believe Satan comes to rob, kill, and destroy, and God's saying, listen, you may have allowed the enemy to steal it, but I can come and restore. More than that, I can give you double for your trouble. So when we get around people who feel like they're hopeless and worthless and have no hope or anything, it's important that we know what God has said, that he wants to restore that which Satan has stolen. And I say, I like Joyce Meyer because she's a prime example of, you say, how could God allow that? But lo and behold, God has used what happened to magnify her message that she gives people, and she has ministers to millions of people because of what happened. So God used what was evil and turned it for good.
Right. Yes. Hasn't God said somewhere in the Bible that something bad that happens to somebody makes it easier for them to talk to somebody about God, because they've already experienced it.
Experienced, yes. And so God will use it and turn us around. That's what?
Just a moment. That I remember when I was in high school in Missouri, grasshoppers cleaned out everything.
Yeah, just cleaned the fields, stripped them.
You just see these black clouds coming, and it's just all grasshoppers.
Can you imagine if you had to have that in order to survive, and didn't have another means of getting the food, how devastating that would be?
Well, we had just moved there, so we didn't even have any crops.
Wow.
So in a way, we were fortunate.
Yeah.
Because those that did.
Praise God.
Lost.
All right, let's go on.
And praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame.
Ooh, what a promise. He's saying, I will not allow my people to be put to shame. And I believe when it looks like that's what's coming and what's happening, it's important we declare that and say, God, you promised us that you would not let me be ashamed. So I'm just asking you to reverse this whole situation. Let's go on.
Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame.
Woohoo! What a promise. And again, he says it again. My people shall not be put to shame. So it's important once we put our faith in God, we don't waver. And when there's a war going on that is trying to cheat us out of what God has said, we just need to stand our ground and say, God, you have promised us that we will not be put to shame. My trust and my confidence is in you. Let's go ahead.
And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Also, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke.
By the way, where is that quoted? Out at someplace else. Let me tell you where. In Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit of God was poured out upon them in the upper room, they said, this is that which was spoken of in the book of Joel, that he would pour out his Spirit upon us. And so God is saying, and in the latter day, he will pour out his Spirit again. So I believe we are nearing that point where God's going to pour out his Spirit afresh, and we will see a mighty outpouring before Christ comes. So
all the flooding and stuff, fires that's happening
now. Well, like I said, I think it's trying to get our attention.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And unfortunately, they used to call it climate change. So unfortunately, you don't hear much about that at all now.
Yeah.
Trump is in there. Climate change.
Oh, yeah.
Now that Trump's in there, you don't hear much anything about climate change. But I believe it's God trying to get our attention, so we'll turn to him and cry out to him, and that we will be saved. However, he promised us in that last days he's going to pour out his Spirit upon our sons and our daughters. What a promise. And I want to see this generation experience the glory of God that I saw in the 72s.
Hmm.
Yes, that was an amazing move of God.
Big deal.
Yes. All right.
The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord.
So what is God saying? One of the signs of him coming is the sun's going to be darkened, okay, and the moon turned to blood. And so it's one of the last signs before he comes, because it also tells us that in Corinthians also. So, I believe that's really where I wanted to stop. I just wanted to take the time for us to look at the promises God has given us. It would probably do you good, you know, tomorrow morning or whenever you spend time in the Word, to go back and look at Isaiah and Joel again and review his promises.
It starts at 61.
Pardon?
It starts at the 61, Isaiah 61.
You have a good memory, yes. 61. And Joel 2.
Okay. Joel 2. Okay, got it.
Because let me ask you a question. What if I put $10,000 in a bank account for you, but you never went to draw it out? Wouldn't do you a bit of good.
She said that'll be the day.
Really?
Just give me the number, right? Give me the number to the account. But basically, God is saying, I'm giving you these promises. And I believe it's important that we begin to declare his promises and say, God, you said you would heal my broken heart. You said you would give me joy for mourning. You said, and I'm believing you and I'm trusting you. And even when the enemy comes against us, then we continue to say, God, I'm believing you'll do exactly what you said. Because often, before we see what God tells us, there's a war going on in the heavens, and the enemy tries to keep us from standing our ground firmly and saying, God, I believe what you have said.
Why in the heavens?
Huh?
Why is there war going on in the heavens?
In the heavenlies? Well, because Satan knows that he has but a short time.
But I thought he wasn't up there now.
I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about in our atmosphere and on Earth. Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's a good question. Hey, I like good question.
Spiritual warfare on Earth, yes.
Yes, there is a horrendous warfare going on.
And well, I know that, but when you said heavenlies, I'm thinking up there.
Oh, okay,
you know?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's been misplaced, so he ain't got a place up there. Satan doesn't have a place at all. So, but I would encourage us to know what God has given us so that we can receive what he's offered us. And that's why I wanted to go back today and say, you see, and even in end times, he says he will pour out his spirit upon our children. We need a mighty pouring, outpouring of God in this generation, this day. So, anybody find anything they'd like to mention? To minister to you?
Just gives us hope. Big hope.
Pardon?
Gives us great hope.
Yes. Well, that's why I want you to go back and read it again, so that then when something comes up, you say, you know what God said about this? You will heal my broken heart. And that's what I started doing to people when God showed me to ask that he would heal their broken heart, because that's one of the reasons he came to earth and died, was so that we can have our broken hearts healed. All right. We have a couple minutes. If anybody has anything they'd like to mention or...
mentioned last week about a little boy got bit by a pit bull dog.
Wow.
And I haven't heard anything more. He was healing, all his bites and everything were healing except for the trek. He was 3 years. Oh, you weren't here last week. Okay. So a guy I used to work with, Rick, his grandson, 3 years old, his daughter bought them a pit bulldog, got it from the shelter, and he was separated, her and Sarah and her husband were separated, so the kids were at the father's house. She got the kids a dog, and when they opened the door, the dog attacked the baby, and latched onto his head, his eye. The trek, he has that, his ear, he's been in the hospital by Shands over a month.
Wow.
And everything's healing except for the trek.
Well.
And he's on a feeding tube. They're hoping to take that out and put a bag on him so he can eat, but they want to keep him in the hospital a little bit longer, you know.
Why don't we join together in prayer?
And his name is... Whitney.
Okay.
And he's, like I said, he's 3 years old. And I used to work with his mom, Sarah.
Wow.
So,
wow.
And I'm sure she feels bad because, you know,
sure.
She got it from a shelter.
Sure.
It was a, you know, an older dog.
Right.
So,
right.
That's a, you know, you don't know what you're
sure.
getting when you
sure.
get an older
yeah,
one
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. Not to hang on to it until everybody's
gone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not very well.
Yeah. So
well, why don't you pray and we'll join together.
You have to throw me that down. Can
right.
I keep you?
Where two or three, right, so
yes.
That's good.
Into your arms for healing, Lord, and give the family grace and mercy to this child, and help Mama Sarah with her guilt that she might be feeling and everything, and I just pray that you know, those healing hands are on him.
Amen.
Only you can,
touch him by
only you can do it. Only you can do it, God.
In Jesus.
Rick is a godly man, and he's been praying and reaching out to churches and families and stuff for prayer. So, on the mercy of your love and your hands,
yes, glorify.
I pray for his healing.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Awesome.
Yeah, well, so, do we need to take the tables down?
Yes. Yeah.